Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
So he's shown he can guide and manage a hyper-talented roster, pressurized environment, and then he's shown that he can carry a franchise to new heights. I think he's the sleeper in the draft. In a strong quarterback draft, maybe he's a third rounder. To me, he's a top of the second round. If I was a team like a Cleveland, go get a Travis Hunter. I think Kyle McCord and Shedeur Sanders, I think it's a coin flip. What I don't get is the people that are taking Jackson Dart over Kyle McCord. That I don't get. Cam Ward over him I get. But I think this kid has a chance to be the second best quarterback in the draft.
Some draft chatter here. Colin Cowherd there on Syracuse quarterback Kyle McCord, who's of course also at Ohio State. I'll get Joe Marino's thoughts on the quarterbacks quickly before we dig into the draft and before I make him trade up into the top 10. Joe, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Always a pleasure.
Good morning, guys. Hope you're doing well.
What do you think about that take there on Kyle McCord? I watched Kyle McCord play a lot this year. I love Kyle McCord for what he did at Syracuse. But I feel like I've graduated into the NFL where if you can't move, you can't play at the position. And this guy cannot move. In the Bledsoe era, he'd be a first rounder is what I want to say. Joe, what are your feelings on McCord?
Well, I need to do a little bit more work on him. I'm finalizing quarterbacks last. I've done the top guys. So I got a little bit more work to do on McCord. I would say he feels like a mid-round quarterback prospect to me. I don't know that I look at him as a NFL starter, but maybe a backup that can eventually, you know, be a good QB2. But I recognize that, you know, obviously an outstanding season this past year at Syracuse, but there's limitations that are pretty obvious that I think are going to make him more of a mid-round guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you, by the way, you said you're doing quarterback last. I'm assuming part of that is because it's just not a position that we think about for the Bills. Although, should we be for, like, mid-round backup? Is that on your mind at all, or do you feel like they're set?
I don't feel like they're set. I think they think they're set. I think the Bills really look at that quarterback depth as more about how they support Josh Allen, and not that Josh Allen needs, like, his handheld or a tutor or a mentor, but I think they think it's important for the makeup of that room to be guys that mesh with Josh Allen, that support Josh Allen as a starter, that are, you know, assets to him on the sideline, during practice, in the meeting rooms. And I think a rookie quarterback kind of flies in the face of that. And I think they're pretty comfortable with these marginal talents that have experience that mesh well with Josh Allen filling out that room, because that's pretty much what it's been throughout his entire career. So I'm not expecting the Bills to draft a quarterback, although I do think you could certainly make a case that it's a good idea.
Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast and Locked On NFL Scouting. One way that the quarterback conversation could really affect the Bills in the draft, Joe, is the 30th pick, right? Like, that's a buzzy spot if you're a team in the second round that didn't get one in the first 10 picks. Cleveland could be looking to move back in. The Giants could move back in. So as we watch the quarterbacks go, do you think all the guys of significance will go in the first 10, 15 picks, whatever? Or could we be on the clock at number 30 and waiting for one of these teams to try and get up and get that quarterback contract the first year, the first round deal that includes like the fifth year option? That's what the Ravens did for Lamar. It seems to be a sweet spot, and if the Bills are sitting there, they might be getting calls.
Yeah, I think there's a number of dynamics in play here. First of all, I think the Bills should probably be thinking about entertaining that idea. If there's a quarterback on the board, and there's a team, like you mentioned, the Giants, the Browns, the Saints at pick 40, as the teams that might want to move up and get that quarterback, like you mentioned, the fifth year option's important, and you can obviously charge a quarterback tax whenever you make that type of a trade out, so you get some plus value on that type of a deal. I think what could be challenging is other teams in the same range probably are also interested in trading out. I think about Minnesota at 24. They have the least amount of draft capital of any team in this draft. I think about the Rams at 26. They're light on draft capital as well. So even Washington, they've given up some draft capital and some trades. So I think the Bills might have some contenders on teams that might want to move out if that's part of their plan. But on the other side of that coin is, for as possible as it is that a quarterback could be in the range of where the Bills are picking, and that could be enticing for a team to trade up and the Bills to trade out, this Saints stuff with the Derek Carr situation puts them in play for a quarterback at 9. Obviously, Pittsburgh as well at 21 is a team that screams quarterback need. And so I wonder, as typically happens in the NFL draft, do these quarterbacks get pushed up and we start to see potentially 4 off the board by pick 21, and that would obviously not be helpful if that's the direction the Bills want to do in terms of trading out.
Right, especially if teams like Cleveland and the Giants are like, they want one of these guys, but they know it's not worth the second or the third pick. But the existence of New Orleans and Pittsburgh, like it's like the fear might push them into doing it early, or maybe even trading down. Like, it really is interesting, because right now, Joe, like Pittsburgh for me especially with this, I mean, the Rodgers thing is still out there, but there's been quarterback smoke with them, and the idea that there wouldn't be a quarterback pick somewhere in the middle of the first round just kind of seems like that is less likely to happen at this point.
Well, I mean, even if the Steelers do sign Aaron Rodgers, I'm not sure that changes anything with their intent of drafting a quarterback early. If they love Milroe out of Alabama, or they like Jackson Dart, or, you know, there is a Shedeur Sanders slide, I can see the Sanders family appreciating Mike Tomlin as a head coach and being a good fit there. And I think that's probably something that they're particular about. So I think there's a number of different possibilities for Pittsburgh. It's just a matter of, you know, who do they like, and do they want to use that premium investment to secure a potential long-term answer at quarterback to succeed Aaron Rodgers, or do they use that pick to load up and try to maximize whatever chances they could win in 2025 with Aaron Rodgers?
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast, Locked On NFL Scouting podcast as well, joining us as he does every Wednesday. You know, Joe, as we track the visits, the Bills visits, this is the last day, by the way, the last day that players can come in for visits, for your top 30 visits. When you look at that list, I mean, it's a number of receivers, a number of corners, one running back in the mix. When you look at the names on that list, do you feel like you can kind of see the focus of where the Bills are looking to go in this draft?
Yeah, I think you can definitely look at the list and find some trends. Certainly a lot of defensive linemen, both edge guys and interior players. And the interior players are more than nose tackles, bigger bodies, guys that are going to play kind of that Daquan Jones role, which is where the Bills have the biggest need in terms of defensive tackle. Edge rushers that are definitely very Billsy, that makes a lot of sense to me. Corners, like we would anticipate. But I think the other piece of this is the receivers, and they're all fast guys, you know, guys that have a speed dynamic, and not necessarily like players you would anticipate first or second round, but more third round, day three type options. You know, guys that give a speed element to the offense, but also, you know, kind of have some appeal to do the special teams type roles and provide depth and maybe some blocking upside as well. So it looks like they're trying to filter through those options to figure out which of those vertical guys they mesh with the best to kind of fill out maybe that wide receiver 5 role. But I'm expecting a defense-heavy draft. Brandon Bean's kind of said as much. The needs are there. The defense keeps letting Josh Allen down in the playoffs. I really think that's what this draft should be about, and it seems like it's shaping up that way.
So to the defense, I want to kind of ask about this. Like, if they decide to go safety, maybe there's a guy that they haven't had a safety. Billy Bowman Jr. is the only one that came in for a visit here, and maybe they've met with some at the combine, whatever. Yeah. Do you feel like safety, or maybe there's another answer here to this, a position that they would take or a player that they would take would show us how they're going to change? Like, I was speculating with Joe yesterday about, do they want to build a third down package or something like that, because they were so bad at that last year. And, you know, when we talk about an offense, we're talking about multiple ways to win and multiple ways to play. And I wonder if there's any sort of approach, whether that's defensive tackle, defensive end, corner, or the safety, where you feel like you would see them changing in real time based on a couple of picks they make in round 1-2.
Well, I think there's been a few things that's already happened, starting with the coaching hires of Ryan Nielsen, Mike Pellegrino. Those are guys that have a lot of experience with man coverage. They have a lot of experience with pressure looks and pressure fronts, and I you know, different versatility with scheme in terms of some odd man looks up front. And then you look at the defensive linemen that they brought in Bosa, Hoyt, and Ogunjobi. Those are all guys that are experienced in odd fronts. Hoyt and Bosa are used to rushing from a two-point stance. And so I think that you've already got some indicators that man coverage and diversified rush plans seem to be on the menu. And so if they were to continue adding players that have more complementary skill sets versus the prototypes that you've learned to believe the Bills like with their defensive linemen, which is typically length, heavy hands, guys that are more compression-style rushers, if they get more penetration, bendy, flexible guys, you could see that they're really trying to develop different ways that they can attack the pocket and heat up these quarterbacks. So I think there's been some clues already, and if that continues in the draft, I think we'll have a pretty good idea about, you know, some changes defensively, which is probably going to be less zone coverage, compression style rush, contain everything, come up, rally, make tackles, where they're maybe wanting to become more attack oriented and force the issue a little bit more to create even more negative plays and turnovers. I can kind of see it brewing, and I think the draft could be the icing on the cake.
On edge, I want to get there a little bit. What's your evaluation of Shamar Stewart, Texas A&M?
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I mean, obviously every unteachable trait that you could possibly have, he's got it. And the question with him is going to be production. And the way that I would describe this is you got to watch Texas A&M's defense. It's very much like classic Bill Belichick Patriots style, where the way that the defensive line plays is not very attack-oriented or up the field. It's more, very much contain-oriented. And I think about a guy like Richard Seymour is a Hall of Famer. And you would look at his production and you might wonder why. Not a guy that has a ton of production, but it's the style of defense that he was asked to play, where I think Shamar Stewart is a guy that's now dropped a ton of weight. He was like up near 290, maybe even a little bit more at Texas A&M, down around 270 now at the combine. You saw the athleticism. I think there's a ton to unleash with him because of the physical upside and what he's put on tape to this point in a role where he wasn't asked to be really attack-oriented. And so I think that makes me feel comfortable with the production. I don't think he gets to 30. I think he's going to go much higher. This is the type of player that the NFL typically just can't help themselves but draft early. But he's a guy with a lot of ceiling, and that's exciting. I think that's what the Bills need. They need guys with ceiling, guys with a lot of athletic potential, not necessarily putting in a situation anymore where, you know, there's a limited athletic ceiling and the Bills get every ounce of production they can out of these players, but they just don't have the next thing that really elevates them into a high-impact playmaker. And so if the Bills were to get players that have that type of athletic ceiling, and we've seen what they can do to coach up players with modest athletic ceilings, I get pretty excited about that. So I think those are the types of swings the Bills should be willing to make if they're in a position to draft a player like Shamar Stewart.
Stewart of Texas A&M. The Bills, according to Adam Schefter this morning, also had the other edge rusher, Nick Scorton, on a visit on Monday. Have you seen any, it could be him or anyone else, Joe, that's caught your eye of the specific players that have actually visited? The corner from yesterday that we saw the tweet about, Jacob Parrish. Is anybody, like, stood out to you? Like, where you went, ooh, that's a guy I like?
Well, I would say those are two good names, Nick Scorton and Jacob Parrish. Scorton's a ton of fun, one of the most urgent players you'll watch in this draft. And he's another guy out of that Texas A&M defense that's going to be frustrating to watch him play just because they don't get to really, you know, pin their ears back and go as much as you'd like. But you watch him at Purdue, where he was at in 2023, and I think you can really appreciate the fullness of his skill set. He's like a big ball of muscle and really athletic, really a lot of variety with how he can beat blocks, and there's an urgency in the way he plays that you just love. Jacob Parrish is really interesting to me as well because he wouldn't really fit the prototypes of what the Bills have typically went for at corner. This is more of a guy that's man coverage, right? That's what I think about with Jacob Parrish. Man coverage, plays above his weight class. I compare him to DJ Reed from the Jets, actually another Kansas State alum as well, where, you know, if you're looking for indicators as to the direction of this defense, if they draft Jacob Parrish on day two, I think you have a pretty clear answer of kind of where they're going, and it's definitely more pressure looks and man coverage.
Joe, we asked you a couple weeks ago, could the Bills justify running back anywhere? And depending on where that is, you know, that would have to involve a James Cook trade. It's been quiet on the James Cook front, but we do have a running back that's been in for a visit. Jaden Blue, running back out of Texas, who is a, what, third-rounder maybe? Is that a, to you, a possibility that they could take a running back in that spot? I mean, it would get crowded in that room pretty quickly. And, you know, any running back in the first or second round, I think it's impossible not to be a shot over the bow for James Cook. So how do you like Blue? What kind of prospect is this? And you feel like it's possible?
Well, Jaden Blue is a big play back for sure. I mean, a ton of speed and upside to hit the home runs. The problem is the guy just fumbles like crazy. I think he's got one fumble every 31 touches in college.
Wow.
And he's real loose with the ball. So that's got to get fixed first and foremost if this guy's going to have a chance in the NFL. But he's definitely a guy that would give the home run hitting ability. And that's kind of the big thing that James Cook offers the Bills. I mean, Cook's a good player, but the best thing about him is that he can hit the home run. And I think that's what the Bills would be concerned about missing if they weren't able to keep James Cook for the long term. But, you know, I think the conversation about drafting a running back comes down to, are they really going to roster four guys? I mean, that's a heavy amount of running backs to roster. And, you know, where are the Bills going to go light to keep a fourth running back? Yeah. I think that's where it gets really difficult for me. So any investment in a running back that you feel like is going to be rostered, there needs to be a corresponding move, which would be a James Cook trade. And I kind of feel like the Bills are going to want James Cook to just play out this season and then reassess after the year. And that could just mean he walks. But, you know, it's the best path with James Cook to get what you can out of him this year. And we'll see. That kind of feels like the right thing to me. But if the team's offering a day two pick and you can basically swap James Cook for a day two pick and reset the money and, you know, not be in that position where you're staring at a big, you know, contract for a running back, that seems pretty appealing. But then I'd say, why wouldn't the team that's trading for James Cook just do the exact same thing and not position themselves to have to pay the running back? So I think it's pretty complicated. But the bottom line is I don't see the Bills rostering four running backs.
Speaking of trades, saw yesterday the Panthers, who have the eighth pick, are open to the idea of trading. So I want to have a little fun with you here, Joe. I'm going to make you trade to number eight overall. The Bills give up their future first and whatever because they just can't stop themselves. Someone is on the board at eight and they're going to do it. Who is it for? Are there two players, three players where you could even say, all right, you know what? The difference is such a big deal that eighth, yes, let's do it.
Well, I'd certainly hope Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter were there at number eight to do this kind of thing, which is obviously not going to happen. So I'll start this by saying I would absolutely not do this.
Okay, but that's I think that's a fair answer.
That's part of the exercise.
Yeah, to say those two guys, if someone somehow whatever, like it's those two, but after that there's just not talent that's worth it to you?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you'd be talking about like Jadae Barron out of Texas or Will Johnson out of Michigan or Shamar Stewart or Michael Williams. I'm not giving up, you know, two or three of my best assets to add young talent to the roster in this year's draft and next year's draft to go get a player like that. So unless it's Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, I'm probably very against the idea of that type of a trade up.
Yeah. What about some sort of trade up that would be lesser than that? Like, but this is my part of the problem I'm having, Joe, is like last year, you know, we were obsessed with receiver and you fall in love with guys and then the trade up conversations come up. And this year I haven't really done that just because I don't know who, like, the guy in the middle of the first round that could fall a little bit would be there that it would be like, okay, yeah, let me go be desperate and get that guy. Not even maybe next year's first, but, like, you have 2 seconds. But who is that? Like you just mentioned a couple of corners. The Bills trading up to, like, 18, 19, 20 even. Like, I guess how different would that even be from just sitting where they are?
Well, I think that puts you in the range to get Derek Harmon or Kenneth Grant. Derek Harmon's a D-tackle out of Oregon. Kenneth Grant, D-tackle Michigan, that I think are really nice projections to the nose tackle spot for the Bills. And they're guys that aren't just big-bodied space eaters. These are guys that have up-the-field potential to make plays in the backfield to rush the passer, right? And I think that's an important element if you're talking about, you know, picking a defensive tackle in the first round, much less moving up for them. And so I don't know that the Bills are in the conversation for those guys at 30, but, you know, kind of in that range that you're talking about, around 20, I think there's a chance that they could get either one of those guys. And so that becomes a little more interesting to me if that's what the Bills are looking to do. I think typically Brandon Bean's signature move, and he's done it, I think he did it for Edmonds, he did it for Elam, he did it for Kincaid, is to trade that fourth-round pick, right? He always loves to trade a fourth-round pick, which moves him up a handful of spots, and he's able to kind of get a guy that he likes. And so I think his trade chip is 109 or 132, probably 109. And I don't know that he's going to move those second-rounders, but if he were to wanting to get into that, you know, late teens range, I think it probably does cost him one of those twos.
Before we go, Joe, I've got a follow-up next segment. I want to bring up a player here, and I'm required to ask you about one receiver per week. I have to.
Yeah.
Luther Burden, thoughts?
Luther Burden, so he's kind of a fun player because of the yards after catch skill that he brings to the table. I mean, he's dynamic with the ball in his hands. Where I get nervous about a guy like Luther Burden is I'm just not sure what else he does. Not a very refined route runner. He's certainly got explosive elements to his game, but – you know, the vertical stuff just really wasn't there at Missouri. So if you want a yards after catch demon, I mean, goodness gracious, yeah. He's really attractive. But, you know, where does that make sense to pick? I wouldn't do it at 30. I'm more of a day two thing that I'd have an appetite for. But I'm not sure there's enough to the skill set that gets me overly excited about him.
He falls to their third day two pick. You feel like that's good value? Or sorry, their second day two pick, the third pick overall.
Ooh. If you tell me there's an answer at corner and D tackle, I think we can open up.
All right.
We can open up our eyes to that.
Very good. Joe Marino, Locked On Bills and Locked On NFL Scouting. We'll chat next week as we get closer and closer. Thanks, Joe.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Joe Marino, download the Locked On Bills podcast where you get your podcasts, make it a part of your day, and NFL Scouting. Yeah, you've got something? Because I've got something I'm going to tease for you.
What is it?
It's about Luther Burden.
Okay, I have something different.
Okay.
I have the Bills having a free agent visit today.
James Bradbury. Yeah. So James Bradbury, corner, coming off an Achilles injury, he's coming in for a visit today.
He missed all last year with that injury. Before that, I mean, started every game of his career. Not like, you know, he missed a couple of games.
Okay.
Second team All-Pro 2 years ago.
Yeah.
3 years ago. Sorry, 2022. It's 2025.
So on Burden, here's your tease. I reached out to the guy Locked On Missouri, Locked On Tigers,
yep,
and said, can you come on and talk to us about Burden? He can't come on today. Mm-hmm. He's coming on next week. And he followed up in a second email and said something about Burden that's going to sell you and a lot of people immediately. I'll tell you what the email says next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Any investment in a running back that you feel like is going to be a roster, to me there needs to be a corresponding move, which would be a James Cook trade. And I kind of feel like the Bills are going to want James Cook to just play out this season and then reassess after the year, and that could just mean he walks. But, you know, it's the best path with James Cook to get what you can out of him this year, and we'll see. That kind of feels like the right thing to me. But if the team's offering a day two pick and you can basically swap James Cook for a day two pick and reset the money and, you know, not be in that position where you're staring at a big, you know, contract for a running back, that seems pretty appealing.
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast, last segment. Follow-up thoughts on James Cook and Jaden Blue, who the Bills had in for a visit, a running back.
I want some highlights. But, he is exciting.
Yeah, but first, I tease something. I got to get it to you here. So, All right. We're talking about the draft, plenty of draft. We did lots of defensive players with Joe, Shamar Stewart, who the Bills had in for a visit, who would be worth trading up for, defensive tackles, defensive ends. We did all that. Quick receiver conversation. So Adam Rank this morning on what each team should do, NFL.com. He put the Bills 30th pick, Luther Burden. That's who the Bills should pick. Mm-hmm. So I thought, all right, I'm going to reach out to somebody who covers Missouri, and let's get somebody out to talk about Burden. We do this. You know, tell us about this prospect. Tell us about that player. And I reached out to the Locked On Missouri Tigers, Locked On Mizzou. John Miller's his name. Hey, can you come on? Let's do this. And he said, not today. Let's check in next week. End of email. Okay. I think I'll just email him next week, and we'll get to that conversation. Mm-hmm. A few minutes later, he emails me again. Just a thought. On Burden.
Just a follow-up.
Just a follow-up.
Yeah. Just got to let you know this.
Second email.
Can't let you go a week without.
Not the first email. Second email. That means he said next week he went about his day. And then he thought, actually, you know what? And he wrote this. This is what I said is going to sell you instantly.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody prepare yourself. From John, who covers the Missouri Tigers.
He loves blue cheese.
Quote, he hates egg salad. No. quote. As a Chiefs fan, the idea of the Bills getting Burden makes me nervous. Now do
that, that's all you need for any sales pitch of any prospect. That's it.
They do it for you?
Yes.
I watch this guy play all the time. I like the team that beats you all the time.
Yeah.
And it makes me nervous.
Mm-hmm.
What could make a Chiefs fan nervous? What'd they be nervous about for anything?
Luther Burden is the answer to that question. At least for this one, this guy.
So, I don't know. I don't know about 30. I don't know about the second round. I don't even know if they'll go receiver. He does a lot of work from the slot, like Malik Nabers did, slot heavy. Mm-hmm. Can he play on the outside? The Bills love to draft guys in the slot and say they can. So, you know, there are some fire concerns. Like, is he motivated enough? But reading Matt Harmon on Burden, he wrote that there's a path for him to become one of the best route runners in the sport. Mm. That if you grade him on the flashes, you see Nabers. If you grade him on the flashes, you see J.J. Zacharyson of, fantasy?
Number Fire? No, he's somewhere else now. Fantasy guy, though.
Yes. Yeah. His comp is Ayuk.
Mm-hmm.
And Harmon says there's a path for him to become an elite route runner, an elite separator. And what do we know he does well? Joe just said, yak monster. This offense is a yak monster. We'd love a yak monster, another one or two.
Yeah.
They love their yak guys. So I don't know. I don't know if he's what they've been talking about with, you know, straight down speed, stretch the field speed.
Yeah. You'd have to tell me he's going to be capable of playing on the outside to some extent.
Sure, sure.
Maybe he doesn't have to play the X and like be right up on the line and press man, but can he play the Z? Can he be a little bit off and get away from corners off the line of scrimmage playing on the outside?
He pegs him as a flanker style.
Okay.
And it says Ayuk was labeled as a gadget guy, yak guy, who refined his game and became the best separator in the sport. So again, like,
if you can give me that.
That was my last 20 minutes digging in on Luther Burden.
Yeah.
So
it's exciting.
Good luck talking me out of it. No, it's fine. We'll see. 803-0550.
Right. I think you'd probably have to do that at 30, by the way.
I don't think he'll last. The other thing about it
is to the end of the second round.
If the Bills don't take him, I'm going to go ahead and move him up my boards in all my dynasty rookie leagues. Like,
You'll get your share of him anyway.
I'll get my burdens.
Yeah, last year, 571 snaps, 462 were in the slot.
Yeah, that's not something the Bills are looking for.
Yeah, I'm going to need, year before that, 700. Yeah, he plays in the slot every year.
That's deployment. That doesn't have to be how he's used.
Like, right.
Again, Nabers was super slot heavy at LSU.
That's right.
And I also saw, there's another guy I follow on Twitter, NFL guy, who said he's this year's Brian Thomas Jr. Brian Thomas Jr. had a limited route tree. They're not physically the same, but sometimes in college, the limited route tree fools people into thinking, oh, he can't do anything else.
And it was just that the team didn't either ask him to do that for whatever reason or
that's
they needed something else.
About, as we talked with Joe Marino there, about Shamar Stewart. He's this crazy physical guy. He doesn't produce. Well, look at their defense. Here's why. Joe gave a pretty reasoned explanation as to why that's the case. So anyway. Also, I want to do a follow-up on running back. Yesterday, we got into a good little debate about smokescreen season and would the Bills bring a player in to convince another team they're interested so that team would trade ahead of them to take a guy?
Yeah.
About Worthy. And we went rabbit hole on that, and I kind of don't believe that. That you would waste a visit on a player just for theatrics to convince another team. Pushing that aside, would the Bills bring in an explosive running back who's a mid-round guy, Jaden Blue, to convince their explosive running back, hey,
we'll do it.
Heads up.
We'll start moving on replacing you.
Just heads up. There are other fast guys.
Yeah.
Look who's in for a visit. A running back in for a visit?
Mm-hmm.
If they draft a running back, they have to cut one or trade one. They're not going to roster four.
Yeah, that's the joke on it said that too last segment. Like, if say they were to draft him. He's a third-round projection, but let's say he falls to the top of the fourth and the Bills take him with one of their fourths. How does that – now what?
Is Ty Johnson gone? Is Ray Davis gone?
Well, I don't think – you probably roster four, but that means that this kid you just drafted, or right, like Ray Davis, who you drafted last year, or Ty Johnson, are inactive on game days. Right? You're not rostering There were how many years did the Bills only roster two running backs on game days, and they would make a third one inactive? So four is not happening.
And four,
four maybe could happen on the active roster, but you're not getting four game day jerseys for running backs.
Right now, the fourth running back is Darrington Evans. You will never see this person play for the Bills. I shouldn't say
unless
never.
unless you get like two injuries.
I shouldn't say never, but right. The idea is never to have this person play. You're gonna put a third round running back in that spot.
I don't know. Like, the other two don't make any sense to move on from because Davis just got here and he was fine in year one.
And he's cheap. And Ty Johnson just got extended.
Re-signed.
Yeah.
And Josh Allen called him the best third down running back in the league like five times last year.
Right.
So
the thing about this guy, Blue, so Joe mentioned he fumbles all the time.
Yeah.
And this is what I mean about, could the Bills have thrown a smokescreen at James Cook? Like, we're not going to draft this guy, but maybe we can convince him. What is this guy, Blue? Oh, could he replace Cook? He's fast. He's explosive. He fumbles all the time. Cook does not.
Cook didn't in college either, by the way.
That's right. Well, maybe this guy's really good in pass protection. Nope. Not.
You don't believe them?
Would the Bills bring a player? Yesterday the conversation was, would they convince another team? Would a team bring a guy in just to send a message? Is it much different than when your kicker is struggling, you bring in a kicker for a tryout? Like, hey, buddy,
you got to get to work here.
You
only get 30 of these, though?
You get 30.
And to use one, I don't know, with the idea of send that is as in the weeds on, like, you know, backroom communication as telling Worthy that you're going to be the pick even though you have no intention. You just want to trick other teams.
I think it's far more likely you do it for the James Cook scenario than it is to try and get a team to trade in front of you scenario.
But James Cook and his team could just go the same thing as another team. Like, oh, they're just doing it to toy with you.
That's right.
And then you wasted a top 30 visit. That's the thing. You're limited on the amount of people you can have in for a visit. You're not limited in the amount of people you could tell I'm picking at 30.
True.
You could tell every player in the world we're going to take you.
But you
there.
Also, in terms of top 30 visits, there's one name that's missing on the top 30 visits. I was looking for it. Landon Jackson. Not
Arkansas.
In for a top 30 visit. He's the guy that said he met with the Bills eight times at the Combine.
Well, that's why maybe they don't need to visit with him because they spent
it is
8 hours with him at the Combine.
It really is interesting when you start to look at the visits. BuffaloRumblings.com has this, and Ryan Talbot tracks this as well for New York Upstate. On Isaiah Bond, for example, Isaiah Bond came in for a visit, and they went to his pro day, and they talked to him at the Combine, and he had a private workout, and they went to dinner.
Yeah.
All that with Bond.
Well, clearly they just want the Chiefs to think they like Bond, so the Chiefs will trade up and draft him.
Maybe.
That's what it's all for.
It's just kind of funny. Like, you see some players that they meet eight times at the Combine, and they come in for a visit. And then there's a player that they don't meet at the Combine, and they don't come in for a visit. And on we go.
I mentioned this story. I was reading Moneyball last month that Billy Beane, there was a guy he wanted in the first round. He purposely never went to go see him because he didn't want the rest of the league to think that he wanted him.
Yeah.
Actually, I think it was Nick Swisher. Maybe. So I don't know. Playing the draft mind game is just it depends. How we've seen Bean now for 6 years. Do we feel like we've picked up on any tendencies from him on this?
This is kind of what I was getting at yesterday. We all think that whatever happens, it's like, oh well, there it is. There's the masterpiece. And really what you're doing, the board plays you at the draft.
Right.
You show up and see what happens. Like, all right, we'll take this guy and this guy. And, you know, you're just trying to get information on these guys the best you can.
Yep.
They did meet with three running backs at the Combine.
Okay.
It was Jaden Blue, Trevor Etienne, and Jordan James of Oregon.
All those guys I think are mid-round, third, fourth, fifth, maybe. Blue, the other thing about the fumbling is not foreign to them, but it was last year, right? Last year, they were not turning the ball over at all, and it was super key to their success. Don't forget, though, that Devin Singletary was the most fumble-prone running back in the league for 4 years.
And they played the hell out of him.
They never benched him. So I'm not saying they don't respect it. I'm just saying in the past, they've had a back that was fumble-prone, and they were good with it.
803-0550. Also happening, you may have seen the story that the county is getting out of the lease at KeyBank Center, and the city doesn't have the money. WBEN talking with Sabres COO Pete Guelli just moments ago, a quote here from him. If anybody's uncomfortable at all, I can assure them the Buffalo Sabres are not going anywhere, end quote. So the future of KeyBank Center is very much to be determined how that goes.
renovations, who pays, who owns it.
Lease is up this fall.
Yes, but there's no indication that there's any reason to be stressed about that if anybody has been. Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550, our phone number. Bills also have a visit in today with James Bradbury, veteran cornerback James Bradbury. Should we get what your brother said about him on the other side?
He texted me about Bradbury. Okay. I'll tell you what Lou from Locked On Eagles is telling me about James Bradbury.
Corner two, right? We'll get that next.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings, which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Time now for Worst Call Wednesday, brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center.
Which Police song is this? Don't tell me. You have a police phase? You should have a police phase.
Once in a while, I'll just... In my head, on repeat, I'll just be sending out an SOS. Send, and I'll just do that for like 3 hours straight in my head.
Worst Call Wednesday. Time to get Worst Call Wednesday. I still don't have the name of the song. I'm going to in a minute. You have a worst call for Worst Call Wednesday?
I don't know if it qualifies. Did you see what happened in Columbus a couple of nights ago? What is the name of the player? He thought he doesn't speak English. Newer Blue Jacket, Voronkov. He was penalized for a 10-minute misconduct. So the ref was like, all right, you're out of the game. He just nodded. He didn't understand at all. So the ref escorts him out of the penalty box. He thinks, oh, I don't have the pen. They took the penalty off the board. So he goes to the bench. He sits down, and then 3 minutes later, he goes back on the ice. And the ref like gets on the mic and is like, that player had a misconduct, 2 minute penalty on the Blue Jackets, and Columbus is just like laughing about it. Which, you know, it's funny when the coach who is trying to get into the playoffs is just like laughing hysterically on the bench because his player had no idea what the ref was saying. So taking a 2 minute penalty because nobody told him what a misconduct was.
That's funny. All right, that could be a worst call. Worst call Wednesday. Any other nominees here? Was there a bad call at the Masters? Was the bad call? There was a bad call in the Warriors game last night. So everyone's really mad about the officiating, a foul on Looney, and you know, playoffs. That's how it goes. The bad calls are elevated.
Yeah. I'm struggling. There's you know one. What? There was a good one early this week. Someone had a terrible take. But there's
I've got
so many
one.
Of those out there, you can't even
I've got
track.
One. In the chat right now, there's conversation about these pre-draft visits, and one commenter saying, the pre-draft visits don't tell you who they like.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally what they do.
Mm-hmm.
The players they like, they bring in to talk to and get to know more about. Keon Coleman came in for a visit last year. This is the thing about the draft. You meet with and talk with and Zoom with and go to dinner with 100 players. You draft seven. I mean, the Bills have 10 picks. But you draft seven. It doesn't mean you didn't like the guys you didn't pick. So, and what do you do? If there's 500 draft-eligible players, who are you going to meet with? The 100 at the top that you like.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to take guys that you didn't meet with later in the rounds and later on because you're looking at a board, best player available. But, yeah, the pre-draft meetings definitely tell you exactly what the Bills like and are looking for. And they didn't meet with Travis Hunter. If Travis Hunter drops to 30, they're going to take him. You know, like you're playing a game trying to figure out who might be around and get your information. So I would say that's one of the worst takes. The worst call. The Bills, there's no rhyme or reason to who they bring in for visits. What? You interview candidates for a job that aren't, you're not going to hire?
Right.
The worst call you can make is to skip your recommended cancer screenings. To learn more about the potentially life-saving screening recommendations and guidelines, visit roswellpark.org/screening. Another hour coming up. We got to talk about the Champions League and an emotional hedge. I'm really feeling an emotional hedge. I got to get an emotional hedge today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Contest? What's the contest? What are we doing? We're doing a contest?
Do one real quick.
When do we get back? When do we
Let's do it
back?
When we get back.
All right. Contest time when we get back as well.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.